Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. The last time we spoke with Ryan Tedder in 2013, I introduced him by saying perhaps no one was having a greater influence on the sound of modern pop music. More than 3 years later, that reputation has only strengthened. A leading producer and songwriter for the boldest names in music, the Grammy winner is also the frontman for the group One Republic, which just released its new album, Oh My My. And if you think this album marks new terrain for the band, Tedder would probably agree.
It's been pretty much abject chaos, which is, I kind of remind myself every single time that that's what it's going to be. I don't know why I expect anything different, but it's been, I'm not joking. I've already circumnavigated the globe twice in the last couple months. And this weekend we were just in London this past weekend, and we were in London the weekend before. In the middle, I was in LA and Atlanta, and, I leave tomorrow night for Germany. We have a show in Germany, and then I go straight to Rotterdam for the EMAs. We perform the EMAs. The next day, I'm on a flight to Hong Kong, and we're doing the most watched thing, TV program, annual program in China. We're the performer on it. So we're doing a couple songs in Hong Kong for a few days, and then I head straight back to LA. So it's just, you know, par for the course when you launch an album in the fourth quarter.
Are you able to work while you're traveling? I mean, can you write on planes and things like that?
Yeah, I write on planes. I write lyrics on planes quite a bit. I'll do production. I was flying 2 days ago, and I was working on London Grammar, this British band that I've been working with. I was working on lyrics for a new One Republic song. We got asked to do another song for a movie, like to do a single. So I was working on lyrics for that. Going over some lyrics for a couple other things. So I can definitely work on the road, and I'm used to recording in hotels at this point. That I probably do 3/4 of my writing and recording in hotel rooms.
Including this album, right? I mean, I think last time we spoke, you had recorded it in a bunch of different countries. I think the same thing this time. Is that correct?
Yeah, this album was done. You know, I've lost count in terms of how many countries we wrote or recorded for in this album. It's probably somewhere around 30. As for the ones that made the album, it's probably around closer to 20. But I mean, I have these memories scattered from Belgrade, Serbia, to Istanbul, to Sydney and Sao Paulo, Moscow, London. I mean, and all over the U.S. I have these little kind of mental snapshots of all these different cities where we were writing and recording. It's just kind of always been that way because, you know, we travel, we're on the road. A lot of artists don't like to write on the road. A lot of artists don't write their own stuff, or they don't come up with the ideas, at least. So it's a little easier, but I don't know how to, I mean, writing is my catharsis. That's my, other than going, I'm a jogger or a runner. So other than going outside and going for like a 5 mile run, my release is songwriting. Kind of always doing it, you know. I'm writing for something. I finally wrapped the One Republic album about a month ago, and the only, you know, in about an 18 month space, I mean, the last 18 months is the least amount of music I've put out in terms of like put out on iTunes or radio, because I've been doing the One Republic record. And but in that time, I worked with maybe three or four different artists. Obviously, you know, the Adele album, I was involved in that, and did some stuff for Ed Sheeran's upcoming album. And I went in with Sam Smith for about a week. So, you know, I'm lucky in that I do get to work with who I think are some of the best artists in the world. So if I'm being selective for a time period, I'm able to choose wisely. But now I've kind of, now that I've finished the One Republic thing, I've dove headfirst back into just everything. And it's, I'm actually super happy right now because I'm back to just like, you know, one day it's London Grammar, the next it's Selena Gomez, the next it's U2. And it's just, the diversity is kind of what keeps me aloft. Like it, you know, it gives me like kind of a Red Bull kind of, buzz. And, I just like the challenge. I love the challenge and it's like, it kind of feels like a video game. I don't know. It's hard really to explain it, but I would liken it to my enjoyment of Nintendo when I was 13. That's kind of what songwriting feels like for me.
I'm glad you mentioned U2. I was listening back to the last interview we did, and you mentioned at the time that U2 was at the top of your bucket list for an artist or a group that you wanted to work with. And then I think the next year you were able to do that. What was that experience like for you?
It was phenomenal. I mean, I've made some good friends with those guys, and I've talked with them on a regular, if not weekly or sometimes daily basis, you know, because we've been working on their next album. And, you know, they brought in, you know, there's Steve Lillywhite, myself, Jackknife Lee, and a handful of others. But it was educational. It's like trial by fire. I mean, it doesn't get any more intimidating than that. So I was pretty much scared the first 3 months I was dealing with him. And then you get accustomed to it. You kind of, I guess, earn your stripes. I mean, they put you through the paces for sure, you know, cause they'll do 200 versions of one song and you're trying to keep track of all of them. And I like the melody from this one, the lyric from this one. I like the drums from this one, the guitar from this one. Edge prefers the lyric from this other one. So you're constantly jumping from session to session and, you know, compiling kind of a casserole of sorts, which is a very unique way to do songs and songwriting. I'm not used to doing it that way, but people do it and they have their own unique way of doing things. You never know how many versions of a song are gonna end up surfacing. I've done a little bit of work with the Killers, and they kind of have a similar, I don't know if they know it or not, but their approach is very similar to the Irish guys. And it's just a different methodology that I'm used to, but it's been a lot of fun. And I think it's more than anything, working with you two has prepared me for, at least if you work with one of your heroes, whoever that is, it kind of pops that bubble. So you're no longer intimidated by anybody else that you step into the room with. And that's one of the biggest benefits I've taken away from that, and just getting to know those guys. They truly are some of the greatest guys on earth, and genuine, smart, totally the nicest, most generous guys you could ever care to know. So it's been, all in all, it's been a great experience.
Let me ask you one more lifestyle question, because you mentioned how hectic your schedule is, and you've got a young family that's been growing in the last few years. How do you balance that when you're all over the globe?
Poorly. I try to do as good as I can. It's a pretty constant conversation with my wife and myself, specifically when I'm in crunch time, which happens to be right now. Like between the absolute pandemonium of finishing the album in August, I think we handed it in September 1st, that combined with the promotion of the lead single and the album itself, and then combined with the fact that, like any business, including the music business, when you enter into the fourth quarter, it's game time. Days off. There are no days off. So, I have like a big circle around Christmas and New Year's on my calendar, and my goal is to survive between now and then. And fortunately, my family has a lot of grace, and they understand that, you know, 2 years of work goes into something, and it comes down to this. And setting it up right, getting momentum, and then, you know, once January comes around, it will calm down a lot. The dust will settle, and I return to a much more normal life. Driving the, I still drive the kids to school every day. I'm here, or the one kid rather to kindergarten, and that's one of the highlights of my week or day. Every single day is doing that. So, you know, you learn to work again on the road. If I spend too much time watching movies on an airplane or just vegging out, I start to get guilty because I realize you know, I have this song to hand in and this other lyric to finish. And if I don't do it now, it's going to encroach on my personal time when I'm home. So you slowly get really good at prioritizing things and using your time wisely, which is, it never gets really easier, but because I do love what I do, it's not some terrible burden that I have to bear, you know, and finding balance is key. But hard work, like with anything, it pays off. You know, we get to go on incredible trips and vacations, and my family gets to travel with me fairly often, different places around the world. You know, our oldest kid is 6, and his first plane trip was when he was 6 weeks old, and his first concert was at 6 weeks old in Munich Olympic Stadium when we were opening up for U2. So he's had some incredible experiences that he may or may not remember, and that is a byproduct of the crazy job I have. And I will do it for the touring and band portion of it. One Republic is a huge passion of mine, but I only do things that I truly enjoy and that are fun. So I will do it for as long as it's fun. I think that where there's joy, there's success and longevity. And when joy starts to dissipate, it's time to look at something else. You know, it's time to explore a different chapter. So I'm going to keep doing it as long as I love it.
Well, that leads me to my next question. A lot of times pop music isn't really a young man's game. Does that ever weigh on your mind?
It hasn't yet. I'm sure it will. You know, I'm in my 30s, and you're reminded constantly. It's so funny when we do interviews now on our fourth album, the amount of interviewers that have been like, you guys are veterans at this game. And I'm like, veterans? We've been around 9 years. But in the music business, 9 years is like 30 years anywhere else. I mean, we're the fact that we've been together this long, and you know, our third album was the biggest album we've done. That's the kind of career arc that we wanted. You can't really control those things, but normally the album 3 for a band is like the last one before they get dropped, because you know, the first one explodes, the second one's half as good as the first, the third one's like the, you know, the kind of swan song, you know what I mean? And our path has kind of been the opposite of that. And so for me, I think what's kept me young, you know, music keeps you young, and I've always had just a high energy level, like a super, even operating on very little sleep. It's just, you know, songwriting and performing for me, it's pretty insatiable. It's kind of like an addiction, and it definitely keeps you young. I have young writers that are like in their early 20s that are signed to me that are on the, you know, they're kind of on the very tip of the edge of what's happening in culture and all that stuff. And I love culture, like just culture in general, art, fashion, food, travel, people, politics, and I consume vast amounts of it. And that kind of keeps me in touch with, I think, what's going on. And I love new. I think when an artist, I mean, look, I could postulate all day about why some artists age and fade out and why some don't. But the joy has to remain. Like I said earlier, it has to be fun when it comes to music. And second of all, you can never get cynical. The moment I hear other bands that we're on tour with or artists start to get really cynical and be like, "Oh man, music sucks right now. It's so bad. Look at the top 10. You know, blah 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 blah." It's like, no, it's just different. It's to billions of people, it's awesome right now. To people that feel like they're on the outs or that their sound has kind of been exterminated or, you know, evolved out of favor, it's easy to get cynical, and it's easy to blame the youth of the charts and radio and YouTube and all that stuff. So I think you have to avoid cynicism at all costs. And there's two kinds of people in music that I know of, two kinds of writers, two kinds of artists and producers. Ones that love quote unquote new and embrace it, and ones that vilify it and are dismissive of it. The ones that are dismissive of it, they become old sooner than they should, and they're kind of phased out. And I think that's the same with any creative business. If you're in fashion, if you're in film, there's not a lot of room for cynicism and negativity. You have to stay positive and remain engaged. And I also think as far as our band's longevity and whatever, it being a young man's game, you're as young as the songs you write, right? So if you're 45, Pharrell wrote the biggest hit of his career at 42, you know, Happy. Now, he looks like he's 28. That helps. But, you know, he's in his early 40s. I mean, Sia, I think, is like 42 or 41. And she's at the absolute top of her game. You know, these are all artists that are well older than me and most of my band. And so I think it's a testament to the fact that songs keep you young. The right song that resonates, if it doesn't sound dated and if it doesn't sound cynical, it's going to connect. And listeners don't, it's not like they hear a record and go, man, I love this, but how old is that singer? Or how old is that guitar? You know what I mean? People don't really, they just don't really care. I mean, I think David Guetta is like 50 or something. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so weird because I feel like 20 years ago, it actually mattered. Or 10 years ago, I feel like it mattered a lot more. Radio and music was a lot more ageist a decade ago, in my opinion, than it is right now, which I think is encouraging.
Let me ask you just one more kind of tangentially related question, which is when you are putting together an album at a time when the idea of what an album is really in flux and, you know, people are streaming and they're thinking about things in terms of playlists and so on, how does that influence your process in, you know, gathering the songs and then arranging them the way you want?
So I inadvertently, we, One Republic, made a playlist album. We didn't do it to check our cultural boxes or, you know, try and subjugate the millennials and all their tastes and, you know, all the fads and all that stuff. It just, that's a reflective, it's an honest album. It's a reflective of who I am. I'm about the most musically ADD person you could ever meet, you know, ever. And I get bored very quickly, very quick. I have the attention span of a 3-year-old when it comes to a lot of things. And, you know, so for me, this album is reflective of that. And I listen to playlists. My wife and I were streaming way before it caught on in the US. I mean, we've been streaming since 2008, 2009, which is like when it started. The moment there was any services that we could stream, we were doing it. And so I'd put on Vampire Weekend playlist, you know, or radio station rather. By the way, that's an incredible radio station. It's like the best music to play if you're having people over. And I put on Vampire Weekend, and you know, it goes from Vampire Weekend to Tame Impala to MGMT to Alt J, you know, and to Cage the Elephant, and it bounces around all over the place. And that fulfills me. That's how I like music. When I was in college, I would open my door. I was DJing for 4 years, basically, to my whole dorm, because I would open my door and I'd play one song off a CD and I'd flip to the other CD player and I'd queue up another one. And then I'd go from Eric Clapton to Oasis to Third Eye Blind, because that's what was happening at the time. And I've always just kind of consumed music that way. So in a weird way, I feel like pop culture is kind of now, you know, assimilated into how I've always wanted it to be. And so this album, the compilation of it, before we released it, I said, you know what, for better or for worse, if critics nail us for anything, they will say, oh, this is not cohesive. I mean, the obvious thing, you know, that I was already declaring from day one, I was like, this is not a super streamlined concept album that starts, you know, and then weaves you through this same kind of mood. It's a song for every occasion, because that's how I listen to music.
Well, we've been speaking with Ryan Tedder of One Republic, and however you do listen to it, the new album is called Oh My My, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Well, I see breakfast on the table, and I can smell you in the hall.